Big Cat Week kicks off this evening on National Geographic Wild Channel. Director and producer Tony Gerber's piece, Snow Leopard of Afghanistan, premieres tonight at 7. He says the film tells the story of an important, timely, and scary expedition to trap and collar snow leopards for study in Afghanistan. My immediate thoughts to that description were about the region being a war zone. Gerber corrected me.
No, timely because the study is a long time coming.
Okay.
There's very little known about these cats in this country, which is under siege. Scary because the country is under siege.
Okay.
So, but that much more critical.
Okay. So why, I mean, you know, tell me a little bit about how, why this was such a long running, you know, why did it take so long to get to this point?
You know, I mean, Afghanistan has, you know, when you tell people that that Wildlife Conservation Society is working in Afghanistan, it almost sounds like a joke, or there's an assumption that they're a cover for some sort of spy network, you know. When I told friends I was going to track snow leopards in Afghanistan, they were convinced that I was working for the NSA. That sounds like code for something, right?
Right.
So it seems completely absurd that there's any kind of precious endangered wildlife in Afghanistan, and B, that anyone would be crazy enough to work to conserve and protect it. You know, I mean, we need to be protecting and conserving human lives, right? But the fact of the matter is that that the wildlife and in particular these endangered snow leopards are very, very critical to the heart of this particular region of Afghanistan, known as the Wakhan Corridor. They're a major source of pride. They have a potential to drive a burgeoning tourist industry, which would be a way for this region of the country to become self-sustaining. It's more or less a landlocked region, and in the winter, it's very inaccessible. So the snow leopard is a potential engine, an economic engine, and an engine for sustainability. So not just for that reason, but also because this is an incredibly beautiful and endangered cat, and there had never been any capture of a snow leopard prior to our expedition.
And this region that you talk of, is it the northeast?
It's the northeast. It's a tiny sliver of a panhandle that's part of what's known as the Hindu Kush, which is this legendary mountain range that Marco Polo traveled around, and Alexander the Great said it's higher than any eagle can fly. So it's this incredibly historic and remarkable location that's inhospitable, tough to get to, hard to live in. And you realize how durable and how well adapted these cats are to live up there.
So, if it's difficult for humans to live in this area, how do the snow leopard? How do they survive there?
Well, they were there before the people were, for one thing. So, you know, they wrote the book on how to survive up there. They have these very large paws, which are almost like, you know, if you picture a monster truck with its big wheels and its small cab, you know, that's one of the most distinct physical qualities that it has, these giant paws, which enable them to grip and to move on very sketchy terrain. They also have these massive tails that are incredibly muscular and weighty that act like almost like a tightrope walker's pole, enabling them to balance again on very, very sketchy terrain, you know?
Well, I saw that tail in the film, and it looks, I mean, long and, beautiful.
Yes.
For
sure. Really stunning. They're known as ghost cats because they're so rarely observed. And, you know, their pelts have been prized for centuries, which also doesn't help them. You know, so you've got you got their habitat shrinking because the glaciers are melting as a result of climate change. You got the pasture lands are moving higher and higher up the mountain, so the shepherds are grazing their flocks higher and higher up. So the prey animals, the ibex and the marmots, are moving up the mountain, and so the terrain, you know, the neighborhood for the snow leopard is getting hemmed in.
You mentioned that they're called, you know, the ghost leopard.
The ghost cat.
They don't travel in packs. They travel alone. That kind of makes them harder to see.
That's correct. Yeah, and their camouflage is remarkable. I mean, you know, your listeners, when they watch the film, they'll see at some point they'll see a wide shot of a cat on a rock face, and you know, I defy anyone to say there's the cat. It's really incredible. You know, the designers of military uniform could take a cue from this cat's camo. They're fiercely territorial. But they're habitual. They tend to run in loops, which is the one way that we were able to gain some intel, you could say, the Afghan rangers who'd been working this valley in advance of our expedition gathered incredible data from camera traps, which are heat and motion activated cameras with time date stamps, so we could begin to put together a picture of when the cats would go to particular regions of the valley and what their habits would be when they would return. So it was an incomplete picture, but it was something. So we had something to go on. So we had, you know, at the outset, we had less than 20 days to capture a cat in a valley the size of the island of Manhattan, you know. And by that first night, we had deployed only one snare, and that snare is the size of a Frisbee. So we're hoping that one cat in a valley the size of Manhattan would put his foot in a snare the size of a Frisbee. And you think of the odds of that, man. It's gotta exceed 1,000,000 to 1.
And everybody in the film seemed very shocked, excited, even stressed out a little bit.
It was incredible. And it just caught everyone by surprise. You know, our trappers, Boone Smith and John Goodrich, had no expectation that it would be a snow leopard. You know, as they wearily get out of their tent in the middle of the night and put their headlamps on to make that long trudge up the mountain, you know, they expected to find a fox.
Right.
They expected to find that the wind had blown the magnet out of the transmitter.
Wow.
The last thing in the world they expected was a set of eyes staring right back at them.
Wow. Yeah. Well, and so, it was a snow leopard looking back at him, and it was kind
That's
of
right.
a process to dart and to tranquilize it.
Yep.
As well, and then, but eventually the snow leopard was tranquilized, and I must say that when they were walking up to that cat, I was scared. I really, you know, they kind of, you know, touched it a little bit, and I almost jumped.
Good, man. That means we did our job well, you know. I mean, the filmmaking in some ways is as important as the conservation work and the science, because we become the intermediary. We bring these stories to an audience. So, you know, they've got to be engaging.
Right. Yeah. What was it like being there to see animal that's so rarely seen?
I mean, I mean, the adrenaline is pumping, for one thing, and I think as John Goodrich says, and he's, you know, this is a career wildlife biologist and a man who's quite famous for capturing and collaring Siberian tigers. You know, he said that he always, whenever he's on one of these expeditions, he always reminds himself to take a moment to just remember where he is and what he's seen, and to take a moment to thank the cat for the privilege, you know, of allowing him to put his hands on it.
Right.
And to collar it in order to gain data and build a scientific study that will help preserve other cats, right? So thanking the cat then for that privilege, you know, and that's important, and it's, you know, it extends, I think, even to ordinary moments in our lives, that we have to remind ourselves, where we are. And what we're privileged to behold, whether it's something as extraordinary as a snow leopard in the Hindu Kush, or it's a child smiling.
Right. Right. No, I just recently read something that said, you know, if you're living in the past, no, if you're depressed, you're living in the past. If you're anxious, you're living in the future.
It's so true.
I really, I like that. I enjoyed that. So yeah, it really speaks to that. So, Tony, why is this film and the others that are taking part in Big Cat Week, why are they important?
Big Cat Week is an extension of National Geographic's Big Cat Initiative, which is a long-term program that seeks to halt the decline of the world's big cat populations. So it's important that that you guys watch, and that you're going to be in for an incredible treat.
All right, and this is the third Big Cat Week.
That's right.
Right, right.
And if I can mention one more thing, and you will pick and choose, but we do live tweet these broadcasts, so folks like the behind-the-scenes stories, the danger, the risk, how we got particular shots. I'll be doing a director's commentary live during the broadcast.
Okay.
For Snow Leopard of Afghanistan tonight, 8 p.m. East Coast.
And they can find you on Twitter where?
Twitter at Market Road Films.
At Market Road Films. Okay. All right.
Thanks
thank you so much, Best.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Tony Gerber is director and producer of Snow Leopard of Afghanistan. The film premieres tonight on National Geographic Wild Channel as part of Big Cat Week. Other films include Attack of Big Cats tomorrow evening and Tiger Dynasty on Tuesday. This is Weekend Ozarks at Large.